glad you're along tonight. We always have a great time with these pictures and vicariously get to travel with Harry. If one of you billionaires out there, in all seriousness, wants to buy this, let Harry know. Let me know and I'll connect you with Harry, whatever. Some of you may be members, I don't know. This is something not only would be advisable to have if things go bad up here and you have to get out, but as a truly an historical monument location, how much fun would that be just to have something like that? All right. Let me say one other thing. We mentioned Martine earlier, Martine losing his hat. Martine's one of Harry's best buddies down there, if not the best buddy. He's been invaluable in helping put these things together. He's also done a lot for me, and I want, if Martine is listening, I want to acknowledge everything he's done to help me. He's been very kind in ways that don't need to be gone into, but great man, wonderful man. So there we go. All right. Your turn.
I'm just listening.
Drinking your chocolate milk? Just
no, I finished it. I had to put it in the dishwasher. And now I'm just working on page 5 of the next issue of our magazine.
Wow. How's the how's the diary book coming?
That's a good one. I'll be working on that next week. Right now I'm trying to catch up emails. When I got back, you know, I was gone for 3 weeks in Germany and Austria, September, October, come back for two weeks. I'm gone for a week and a half in Argentina, come back for, I've only been back about 3-4 days. I've got over 500 emails to go through. So it's taking a bit of a time.
Yeah, well, you'll get there. All right.
Yeah.
Now, we're at 23. Number 23.
Yep.
Which comes right after 22. All right, number
23. Can't put nothing past you.
No,
yeah, this is the what's left of the seaplane ramp. It used to be nice and smooth, and it used to go all the way down in the water, and just the ruination of it is down in the water now, and this part is falling apart. And the boathouse that it leads to is leaning way over. So I don't think
it's long. I understand people would fly out there. Land, come cruising up on this seaplane dock, and they bring their bags, and they'd be invited, and they'd stay, and dinners, and fun, and
we think this is where Don Angel landed in September of 1952.
With a special report, which we've talked about in the past.
Special report about those two kids in Las Cruces, New Mexico school system.
Yep. That's all we'll
Who
say.
Were these kids? We still don't know.
Can't say any more
than
that. All right. Very nice. Number 24. I'm not sure what this is.
That's the front of the guest cottage, the one we stayed in. It's about not even 100 yards away from the main house, but it's up on a little bit of a hill. There were two guest houses there. The other one is not maintained, and it's looking like crap. This is the one we stayed in, and we think possibly from the description in my book, we think this is where Don Angel stayed when he got there September of 1952.
That's been taken care of, kept clean, given some kind of stain. Caretaker there has done a reasonable job with this one, so that's good. All right.
Yep.
Nice. Okay, number 25.
25. This is inside, and it's a sofa and a coffee table, as you see. And it's a very comfy sofa, and that's the caretaker's son sitting behind there. Nice kid. Mm-hmm. And very quiet, stayed out of everybody's way. The caretaker's wife fixed us breakfast, very nice. And then we had the asado there, which you'll see that later. Big, Okay, I just your email just came in. The two doors in the back there, you see the two brown doors. The one on the left leads into the bedroom, which has two beds in it. The one on the right is the bathroom. The bedroom has a big double bed and a small single bed, and Roger got the big double bed because it was right next to a wall receptacle, and that's where he plugged in his CPAP, and everybody
tell
else
him what a CPAP
out.
Is, right? We don't know.
Well, a CPAP is something to help breathing when people are sleeping.
And, okay. Look
okay,
at the floor.
Moving along.
Look at the floor. Look at that craftsmanship.
Yep.
Just
beautiful.
Amazing. Oh, yeah. Okay, number 24.
20.
There's some more craftsmanship in a glass.
You mean number 26?
Sorry.
Okay. Yep.
24, 25. What happened to 25? There it is. Now I'm
25 is the one with the green sofa.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
26.
That's a very rare wine. It's called Coca-Cola. It's in my glass.
That's funny.
I don't drink beer or wine. and booze, if I have five drinks in a whole year, that's a lot. I backed off. I quit drinking way back in 1987, February. You know, the idea of falling down drunk and looking stupid just doesn't appeal to me anymore. And I got two kids now. You know, wouldn't do to have my kids see
dad falling down
drunk.
No, so, you do well enough diving off roofs. You don't need to drink.
Yeah, if I had dived, I'd have been a lot better off. As it was, I fell. My left foot got stuck, and I came down flat on my back. Boy, did that hurt. I still
Your
feel
left
it,
foot
you know.
Got stuck in the ladder?
No. My right foot was on the ladder. My left foot was on the roof, and I went to push with my right foot to get my weight over my left foot onto the roof, but the ladder just shot right out from under my right foot, and I was going down. My left foot was still hooked on the roof, and it rotated me, and I slammed down on my back, and my head hit the edge of the deck, and right in front of my wife and my special needs son.
Kay saw this happen. They watched the whole thing.
Within 3 feet away from me.
Unreal.
Bam, my wife thought I was dead. And if it wasn't for God, I would have been dead. Yeah. But God takes care of idiots like me. So
yeah.
I was out
right,
cold for about 10 minutes. But
And then 4 days later, he gets on a plane and goes down to Argentina.
Yeah, well, just about. I was 3 days in a hospital that I don't remember. And 4 days after that, I was on the plane.
He didn't even remember when I talked to him in the hospital.
No, I certainly don't. My wife told me I ate 3 meals a day. I don't remember any of them. I don't. My wife and son were there most of the time. I don't remember it. I don't remember any of it. The one thing I do remember, I told them I had to get out of there to go to South America. And they said, no, ain't no way you're going anywhere. And I bugged them enough. And they had some big guy from the physical therapy lab come down. He put a big belt around me. I said, what the hell is that for? He said, that's so I can hold you up. And we got out into the hallway, and he let go, and I went running down the hallway. And he said, okay, you can get out of here.
Unreal. Well, I remember that very well, all of that. All right, we got to go here. Number 27.
27, that's our fireplace.
That's
was the only heat for us guys that were sleeping in the main room that night. And this is where we met Black Matilda. I got to tell you about Black Matilda. We got done with the asado, which was great beef cooked over an open wood fire outside. I was dead tired. I went to sleep right about where I'm standing taking this photo, because this is the only heat in there, under about 6 real thick comforters. Excuse me. And within 5 minutes, I was asleep. Next thing I know, I don't know how much longer it was. I woke up and I remember. I said, "What the hell's going on?" And then I hear again, "Bap bap 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 bap," and two of our guys, Martine and Roger, for whatever reason, God knows, middle of the night, they went down to the beach and built a bonfire on the beach, looking at the stars. Excuse me, and finally they decided to come back to the guest house, and the nice little pit bull named Matilda, she was really not black. I said she was black. I was corrected and told she was brindle. But at any rate, she was their buddy until they got to the front doorstep. Then she was not their buddy. She was going to take their leg off. So they're banging on the window. So we let them in. And by now the fire's going out and it's cold in there. So we slept until, I slept until about 6. And it was easy to get dressed because all I had to do was put on my shoes. I had all the rest on me when I slept. And I went out and walked on the beach trying to think of what it was like back in 1950, 51, 52.
45, 46. Just remember, all of you listening, Harry's going back next year. So
come on with us.
You might want to start thinking about that.
Sharkhunters at earthlink.net. Send us a note.
Maybe by then someone will have bought this that is friendly to the cause of history and preservation. Okay.
28.
Good story. All right. 28.
28. That's the other guest house. It's across that little ravine, which is not so little here in this place now. It's about 30 feet down and pretty wide across. You don't go across it. You got to go around and back up. This one is not being maintained. It's starting to come apart.
Yeah.
Not good.
Okay. 28. Beautiful, beautiful grounds.
Very nice. But I couldn't get to it because it's so overgrown. You can't get to it without a machete. 29. Not going to say any more about it other than it's a 4-inch pipe.
Yeah.
Running through the woods. And it just got uncovered by rainstorm.
Okay. Number 30.
30. It's a wall. And I won't say where, because we don't want scumbags going there to plunder the thing.
Okay. Number 31.
31. Now we have walked to the farm, which is about 500 meters up and down some serious hills, and this is the remains of the farm. Unfortunately, vandals have been here too. Windows are busted out, and just a damn shame. The big barn you see on the right there, that was where they apparently raised cattle.
Okay.
I'll keep
30,
moving along. I'm
32
sure
is
yes,
another, yeah, another picture of the... Look at the architecture on that, though. Seriously,
right.
That's fascinating.
Slanted strongly to drop the snow, because in June, July, August, which is winter down there, you get heavy snow. We were there, you know, last year, June, and we were having snowball fights.
Honey.
And in front of the big barn, you see the well? It was running. There was water coming out of it, but I'm 999.
Artesian well.
Yeah, it was an artesian well because they didn't have any electric.
Yeah. There's a chemtrail, a big fat chemtrail up in a chem crap sky. Look at that.
Yeah, I guess they were trying to kill people. Whatever. Yeah. I'm not going to make a comment on chemtrails because that'll get us off in another direction.
Number 33 is the same chemtrail, but fatter.
Fatter.
All right,
okay.
Where are we? We're looking straight ahead at that artesian well.
That's correct. And you can see the water all over the ground on your left there, where it's a little lower. I'm not sure what these various buildings were. They raised cows in some of them. They raised horses, racehorses. In another one, they raised Great Danes for guard dogs. Great Danes were originally guard dogs for German nobilities way back in the medieval days. And they're big. They're powerful. Whenever I go to see Lawrence DeMello, she's got a huge, big Great Dane and comes running down to the gate, snarling and growling. As soon as she realizes it's me, starts wagging her tail, grabs him by the wrist, and starts dragging me up to the main house. Hmm. But if they're not your friend, they can pretty well take you apart.
There's a fireplace on the building, I believe, to the left, and there's also one straight away on that, whatever that is, too. So there was work done in there. Agricultural work, who knows?
We would have to do some studying on it. 34 is a better shot of the place on the left. But it needs help.
Look what they did on the exterior wood, Harry. Those are, we could call them 2x12s, something like that. But they're naturally cut, and they have their natural contour. Look at them. They haven't been milled. And the roof is fine. Everything's fine. But they did that. It's kind of an unusual touch.
Kind of like a lap straight boat.
There you go. There you go. Exactly. Okay. Number 35.
That's the same building off to the left, And I went into the building. I don't know if I sent you any photos from inside. It's just a big empty nothing there. Excuse me, with a stairway up to the loft, which might have been a hayloft. Who knows?
Once upon a time.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got it.
Number 35A. This is the first one we pulled out of that video I sent you.
Right.
That's an unusually shaped structure.
Right. Looks like it would have been for hogs, but I don't think they raised hogs there. This might have been where they were raising the Great Danes or the St. Bernards. I don't know.
It could have been a bowling alley, too.
Yeah. Or an archery range, skating rink, who knows?
Right.
I'm
There's
being
a
facetious.
Nice odd-shaped building. All right. Next one.
35 Baker.
35B. A little blurry on that shot, but it's the end of that long building, or is that this is another building?
I think it's another building, judging from where it's sitting. And the busted out windows again. Lousy people doing things like this, destroying history. And they're not doing it because they're anti-Hitler or anti-Nazi. They're just doing it because they're stupid people. I'm assuming they're young people. I don't know. Older people have better sense than to bust things up. They might steal stuff, but they don't just bust things for the heck of it.
All right, 35C. Another structure.
Charlie.
Looks like another guest home or somebody's quarters. Maybe the foreman. Somebody lived there. Looks like a home.
Yep, it does. But beyond that, speculative. I don't know what it was or when we
Another
go down there next.
To the right.
When we go down there next, I'll bring a lot of questions and find out what the answer is. What's this? What's that? What was this for? Et cetera, et cetera.
35D.
35D.
Two-story house. Looks like a residence with a big chimney on it. Somebody lived there that maybe was a caretaker or
I was in that building, and I don't know if it was a house or just kind of a utilitarian building. It's hard to tell because there was nothing in it. Excuse me. There was no bathroom that you could see, no fixtures, no kitchen utensils, no stove, fridge, nothing.
Next picture, totally. Same building. Take a look.
Hmm?
Same building. Looks like there was glass in 35C.
Easy.
Oh,
yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
It looks like those are glass window frames on the left to me.
Yeah.
Which would suggest somebody lived there who had rank in terms of running the estate.
Yeah, it could have been. Could have been the guy in charge of the farm.
Yeah. 35F.
Foxtrot, Foxtrot. Same building from a different
building,
direction.
A little bit of a different view.
Yeah, pulled back.
I selected all these on the fly and sent him numbers, and he pulled all these out. Got them done.
Yeah.
I just wanted everyone to see that how many structures there are there on the estate. There are a lot of them.
Oh, that's a big place.
It was all self-contained. 35G, for golly.
Hold on a sec. Hold on a sec.
Yeah.
Get down here. I could not.
35G.
Get out of here, Harry. Okay, I'm going back. We had just a little bit of a situation here.
All right.
I shall.
You need to go take care of anything?
Yeah, no, we're set now. Okay, 35 who?
35G, and then The next one after that, 35H, shows a close-up of the building. 35G.
Right. Yeah, G shows... what the heck was this? They told me what it was. I forgot. Just on the fly. But then 35H, as you say, shows the roof coming down. The struts look okay. It's just the cross-hatching that is falling apart.
Right, right. Snow
can be fixed,
loads,
but you're talking about heavy, heavy work.
Yeah. Notice we didn't mention money, as in volunteer work.
Exactly.
Look at the brickwork. I wonder where they had to bring those bricks in there, Harry, or maybe they made them from indigenous materials.
I don't think they made them there because there's not much clay in that area.
They don't look like they're from there, but yeah.
No, the ground there is pretty much sandy loam-type soil.
Mm-hmm. All right, next up, 35.
I.
Now, that house has been stained recently or painted.
Could be.
It's red.
Okay. I don't remember seeing any red buildings there, but sort of a burnished color. Maybe the film just makes it look that way, the way the light's on it or so.
Sure. Okay.
Could,
35J, I think, is the same building from the other side. You notice that those burnished logs are also in evidence there.
Yeah, and also the flagstone, the field stone, flagstone, whatever you call that stuff.
Yeah. Burnished is one of those good words again, like tableau.
Yeah, it's a $3 word.
All right. All right. Next is 35K. Another structure.
Yeah. Abandoned. You notice there's no door.
I do see there's no door. A couple of 55-gallon barrels there.
Fuel drums, yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Which I think all of you get the idea here. Now take a look again here at 35.
L.
It's so nice of him to put numbers on all. I didn't even ask him to do that. Okay. This one is another one that is needs to be
TLC.
Fixed.
TLC. Yeah. You see the gate there? That's the gate that goes out the road onto what's now Highway 40.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it goes up the hill.
Right.
Must wind up the hill.
Yeah, not very far, though.
I didn't know there was a road actually cut from 40 on down there.
Oh, just a driveway path kind of thing.
All right.
Access
okay,
road.
Next one, 35M.
Yep.
Is I believe...
That's the same as my first shot with the artesian well in the middle.
There it is.
Only darker, yeah. You know, sun's going down.
I couldn't see when I called for that one, so yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what it is.
So, there we go. Let's look at 36 now. And then just look at the greenery. You can't walk through there.
Not easy.
That's the point. It's just overgrown everywhere. Okay, number 30.
What are we looking at there? That is the base of a radio tower, radio antenna.
Ah, it looks like a log. Okay.
No, it's not a log. It's concrete, and you can't see too well on your small screen, but the cable is still attached there.
I got the magnifying glass. I see the cable.
In between the concrete post and the guy's face, you see
yes,
the little
I do.
Yellow. Yeah.
So they had radio. All right, just keep in mind they had radio, shortwave communications,
sure.
With a long distance reach, obviously.
Yep. So they could hear from the other guys when people were coming to them.
Correct. All right, that's fascinating. Number 37.
That's the Asado.
That's lunch.
It would probably not pass inspection for the USDA or whatever it is, but this is how you cook. You get all those coals blazing hot, and you put the meat on the grill, and it comes out yummy.
Are those ribs I see?
They are ribs. And if you look to 38, you see them ready for us to lunch on.
And that was the caretaker's wife again preparing meals for you. Look at the nice place settings and very nice.
Yep. Nice. Caretaker was cooking. Nice. The wife was serving. Nice people.
Look at that. Wait, is that who? That's not who. Somebody's hand is there with a fork poised to grab the last morsel of that.
I don't know.
It's a big bite.
It's hard to tell.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, I know it's not me because I had a watch on my left wrist.
Mm-hmm.
So I might have shot over somebody's shoulder. I don't know.
What's that up in the glass serving tray?
Yeah, if you go to the next picture, 39, you'll see a close-up. See it?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but basically, to cut to the chase, it's cow's guts. Nobody ate it.
All right. Pass.
Yeah,
pass.
You're not kidding. Pass. When I saw it on the asado cooker, I said, what is that, chicken? Oh, no, that's the cow's innards, the stomach, the intestine. Oh, good. Well, you can have my share.
Well, I rest my case. Okay.
I ain't eating that stuff.
Now, here we have vegetables and some
40.
Home-cooked muffins.
You betcha.
Like
the caretaker's wife baked these muffins.
Mm-hmm.
And the meat in the plate up toward the top of the picture, and veggies over on the left. And that is actually wine in that glass. That was somebody else's place.
Wherever you go, you always have outstanding food. I've noticed that. Wherever you go, even here you are 500 kilometers south of Buenos Aires in the middle of nowhere. Well, it's not nowhere
anymore.
More like
700 miles, yeah.
700.
But, yeah.
And you got this beautiful food.
Yeah. Yep. We eat well.
Okay. Number 41.
41.
Couple old chairs for people to sit around on.
Yeah, I sat on one of them, and judging from the dip in them seats, must have been some really fat people sitting on them for a whole long time.
Yeah.
But
all right.
We won't say any more about them chairs in 41.
We don't know anymore.
All right.
42.
What's 42.
This?
We have left the estate in Elko, and now we've taken a boat to we've taken that sailboat to the island of Huaymul. This is where the German scientists built a nuclear research facility 2 years after the end of the war. The building you're looking at here was the headquarters of the prefectura on the island, the Argentine Coast Guard, because they maintained it. But they have since been pulled off. Everything is going to hell in a handbasket. This used to be a nice, beautiful place where they'd have a detachment of maybe six or so coasties, and they would maintain the property, but now it's all fallen apart. The coasties have been pulled off.
This is that island out in the middle of Lake Wahoo. Yeah.
It's a couple of hundred yards offshore.
Look at the red bricks. I'll bet your face was that red.
Yeah. Well, by the time I was done sailing there for a couple of days, yeah, I was bunches red. But I loved it, though. I hadn't had the command of a sailboat in ages. You know, I used to live on my boat in the islands, and that was really living. Mm-hmm. Not as exciting as 190 miles an hour on the super speedways, but it was laid back. It was nice. It was peaceful. I wrote a lot of magazine articles.
Nice.
Off to 43.
43.
If you look close, you'll find there's a bridge over a little bit of a pond. It's not even a creek. It's stagnant water. This was near the house of Dr. Ronald Richter. He was the head scientist there on the island. He had his own home there, and, well, they all did, but that was his.
They had some serious nuclear research going on there. That's the interesting part.
It's a two-page story there. One side says they did achieve cold fusion, and Perron made a big whoop-de-doo about it, but Borman made him back off, and so they made it look like they didn't really get nuclear or cold fusion. Or on the other side, they never did get cold fusion, and Richter was just using that to suck more money out of Perron. Finally, Perron, I think 1951, 52, something like that, he just said, hey, cash register's closed. You guys are out of business.
All right, 44.
I thought we were up to 47. Where did I miss something?
No. 44.
Oh, you're right, you're right, you're right. Nobody ever called me dumb and didn't mean it. 44, this is one of two huge laboratories across the pathway from one another. It's called the Twin Laboratories. I don't know what they did there. Inside both of those buildings is absolutely nothing. Not a nothing, nothing, zip, squat, nothing. 45 is the other of the twin laboratories.
Look at those items sticking out of the wall, Harry.
Wood beams.
For what?
I've never been able to figure it out. Maybe for floors. I don't know. Next time I'm in contact with my friend, Dr. Mario Mariscotti, he was the head of the nuclear research program well after, or actually the atomic energy program for Argentina. He might know, because it would have fallen
No, he'd know. He'd know exactly what was going on.
Well, we'll find out.
Would he tell? I don't know.
Oh, sure. Not a big secret. I mean, this island's deserted. It's open for anybody who wants to waltz ashore.
Okay. 45 shows you the
that's the other side of the
building. Building in good shape?
Oh, the stonework is, but there's outside of them posts sticking out. That's all the wood you're going to find. There's no roof. Roof is gone. I don't know if it decayed or if people took the wood for whatever. I don't know. Maybe Martians got it. That's a joke if you're listening, folks.
Least of our worries are Martians. Did you see my homepage? Did you see what I did at the top of the homepage?
Oh, yeah, with the Martian stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
They always tell us there's nothing up there. Just keep moving, nothing to see here. I saw that video and I went through it and pulled out times. I said, get this picture, do enlargement on that, do a super enlargement on that. There's wreckage all over that place. That's intelligently designed wreckage. That's not natural stuff. All right? Just take a look at it. There's so much they're lying to us about. They know. Something terrible happened up there and blew that civilization all to pieces. Those things are not. There's boards and metalworks and relics and all kinds of things up there. Just look at the pictures.
Yep. I'm planning to do that tomorrow.
Well, you'll be amazed at what you see.
Not today.
Stuff everywhere up there. No.
I've been up since midnight.
Yeah, you need to go to sleep. All right, you're almost
there. I've had a two-hour nap during the day, and that's it.
And I woke you up.
No, that's okay. Right. 46. If I didn't want to answer the phone, I would have shut it off. 46, stairway two. We don't know where it went because there's nothing at the top of the stairs.
Wow. Ask that guy. He'll know.
Yep.
He really should make a complete map of this island and recreate what it was.
He has written a book, which we're going to be advertising on our website, The Secret of Waimula Island. I'll be advertising that shortly on our website.
Ah, very good.
On Hotmail. It'll go out to everybody.
What
He's
about
a very nice man. He's incredibly intelligent. Last year, I was having lunch with him, so I invited Lawrence to come and join us. And he and I got there first to this very nice restaurant in a hotel. And we were seated talking, and she came in, and of course, proper gentleman, we stood, and I said, Dr. Mariscotti, I'd like you to meet my friend Lawrence DeMello. And she's on the floor kowtowing. I said, what in the hell are you doing? And Mariscotti was wondering, too, and she says, I read your biog. You are my hero. And she's bowing and scraping, you know. But he wow. is, he's an incredible world-renowned scientist. I was at his home for dinner one night about a year or two ago. He took me down in the basement to show me his hobby. Most homes there didn't even have basements, but he had one. And, you know, that yellow and black round sticker that says radioactive? He had stuff all over the place with them stickers on it. I said, what is this, old news? Oh, no, he says, that's not old news. That's radioactive stuff. I said, you got it in your basement? Oh, yeah, he says, we do experiments here all the time. Okay, let me out of here before I start glowing green.
That's funny.
So, he's a fine, fine gentleman.
Well, he'll know, and I'm glad he's done a book on this island, The Mystery of the Island.
I'm going to start advertising. We're doing we do ads now for anybody who wants to advertise anything. So, if anybody has anything they want to sell, contact me, sharkhunters@earthlink.net. And away we go.
I can sell my old bicycle. did you get Holdeen's book up, the English translation? Is there anything there? I mean, I'd like to get a copy of that.
I've got it, and it's in English. But first off, I haven't had time to deal with it. And the biggest problem is it's 1,400 pages long. You cannot move a book 1,400 pages long.
How big is it?
And, huh?
How big is it size-wise? What's the size?
6x9, which is your normal pocketbook size. The thing would be like 7-8 inches thick. You can't have a book like that. And you can't break it up into four pieces. But I tried to tell the doctors who have the original, they believe too much propaganda, evil Nazis and stuff like that. So they're talking about this particular guy, the horrible Nazi war criminal that's been wanted, and they waste a lot of ink on that. And I tell them, this is not part of the story. The story is about Magna and Holdeen escaping to South America, and that's what you want to focus on. Oh, no, we got to put this. No, you don't got to put this other stuff in there. So I've been sitting on that thing for a whole year now, but
Are the pictures big enough to see well, her drawings?
Oh, you bet.
6x9.
You bet.
I'd like to. Can I buy a copy of that book? Is it? I'd like to get one just to see it. Curiosity.
Well, when I get it done, right now it's 1,400 pages of.
Oh,
crazy
you're going
stuff.
To publish it? Okay.
Yeah, we're going to publish it after I trim it down. I got to get it down to about 400 pages, or maybe if I get it down to 8, we can make it two books, part one, part two.
And I would go bigger than 6x9. If you
right, 6x9 is what all our books are, and that works, except for our library quality
books. You want
books,
this to be a coffee table kind of a book, don't you? With all those
drawings? There's a lot of great stuff in it.
Yeah.
Maybe 8.5x11, who knows? That's not high on my priority right now.
Well, we'll get there. Okay,
we'll
47.
There. 47. That was the actual reactor building. For whatever reason, it's the only one that got blown up. None of the other buildings were blown up. Why this one? I don't know. It's not hot anymore. When we went in there some years ago, we had a Geiger counter, and it was registering zero.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 48.
Yeah, 48. We have no idea what these things are. They're solid metal. You bang on the side, and it's solid metal.
We Doctor, what what's his name for. Would know.
Yeah,
he
I know. Doctor, what's his name? I'll send him a picture and ask him what is it? What was it for? Somebody suggested maybe they thought it was dampening rods for the reactor. I don't know.
It looks to me like
know.
whatever was going on there, Harry, was very serious. I don't think they were just playing games.
They were not playing games, that's for sure. But we don't know yet. Whoops, what the hell happened? What happened at 49? It opens up and it's all blue.
48? There is no 49 on my page.
No, that's why it's all blue here.
No, there it is. I take that back.
Do you have a picture or is it all blue?
Yes, I have a full picture and there's a somebody in the shadows. It's you
in
the front.
Yeah, that's me.
And it's all black.
Okay, well.
You're black.
Yeah, I'm all black there, but that's because of the lighting. This was the power plant. They had... big diesel engines, 9-cylinder MAN diesels like the ones that were in the U-boats, and they had generators, and that powered the whole island. And when the thing went belly up and Richter and his people moved out and abandoned the joint, the power generating equipment was moved into Bariloche and powered the town for some time.
Didn't you tell me that there was a blackboard in one of those rooms? A blackboard? Wasn't there a blackboard in one of the rooms on that island? A chalkboard?
I don't recall. No, I don't recall that, though. It might have been, but I don't recall it this time around. Maybe another time.
Okay. Number 50.
50. Here's another one that just turned blue for me. I don't know what the heck's wrong. I better refresh my page.
We're good here. It's a concrete slab in the ground with looks like a piece of... A bolt, piece
it's
of rebar, something. All right,
that's a bolt sticking up. That's what used to hold down the... good. I refreshed the page and it works. There were bolts like this all over the place, scientifically or properly spaced, to where you could mount something and screw it down.
Mm-hmm. That's a foundation. A footing or something.
I don't know what
it
was for.
10 years ago.
10 years ago... This was our group. Burgess was on the left. He owns the vineyards out in California. The guy in the center, that's Mark. He was a motor cop, motorcycle. And sitting down was Dr. And Colonel Rigoff Hennig from the German Army. And you compare that with the next picture, 52, and you see how the place has been allowed to just go back to nature.
Wow, yeah.
Nobody's cutting the grass. Nobody's doing anything.
What a lush environment, though.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Things grow.
Okay. Number 53.
53, the famous Saracen Tower. We went by with the boat and took a bunch of photos. This is the most, the clearest, best angle. So you can see where they had, they had great eyes all over the place. Anybody coming by that direction, they'd be spotted because they're way up on a cliff there. And anybody coming by would be reported to the main house.
Or you get in there next time. This is going to be fascinating.
We have been told we will be allowed in.
That's terrific.
Amen.
It's a guard tower. Surveillance is what it is.
That's
a watchtower.
You betcha.
All right. Now we are at number 54. And
54.
We're back in Buenos Aires, I'm going to guess.
That is correct. Back in Buenos Aires. And this is the tomb of... General San Martin, the liberator of South America, one of them.
Yeah.
He's in that tomb. Now, this is not in the church. The two guards are standing by the door. This is an annex, and he's not allowed to be buried in the church because he was a Mason. And because he was a Mason, he cannot be buried in the church. These honor guards, they're all big guys, 6 foot and better, because they're grenadiers. You know, they throw grenades. They got to stand up tall so they can throw grenades. And these are the older uniforms, and they're the honor guards.
And look how their swords, they're leaning on their swords, and the swords have a place to put the point so they'll be able to keep some of the weight off their feet.
Yeah, like I say, it's got to be an awfully tough job, and they are not removed from anything. They are right smack where people walk by, and so when I walked by, of course, I rendered a hand salute in honor of their position.
Any acknowledgement?
No, they can't. They're not allowed to move or do nothing. They can't even sneeze. But they change the guards. I don't know how frequently, but if you click, where are we here? Click to the next photo.
55.
Yeah, that is the new guard contingent coming in to replace the guards. They got four new guards, so they got two guards at the entrance and two other guards inside the tomb area. Very impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah. Sure.
So they're wearing the uniforms of the old days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God bless them. These guys serve. They care about their country. They serve in the military. And they've got some pride. I imagine you got to be top-notch kind of soldier to get into this honor guard thing. Well, way back in the early days of Shark Hunters, one of our members was U.S. Army, and he was one of the honor guards at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. So you can't just volunteer. I mean, you've got to be something above and beyond fantastic. Otherwise, you ain't going to make it.
You look at page photos 56. There's something on their boot. It's not a spur. It's a hook of some kind.
No, it's a
what
spur.
Is that?
It's a funny looking. A funny looking spur. It's a dress spur, not for jabbing horses, but for parades.
Got it. Okay.
And the guy at the rear, which is on the left of our photo, with the two stripes on his sleeve, he's obviously the corporal of the guard, marching people back and forth.
Two great pictures to wrap this up.
Yeah, Roger shot those photos.
Yeah, 2009, Shark Hunters, the tour, that's in Elko. Before the volcanic ash dusted it.
Right, that's photo 57, yeah. That's when we were there with our group, like I say, 2009. And you can see how the lawn is nice, and the house is still in good shape. Then we fast forward to photo 58, and that's what it looks like today. Needs help. It's another photo that Roger Mick took.
Right, it's definitely, it's there. It's there. It's savable. No
it's
doubt.
Savable, you bet. But first off, somebody has to own the place that's friendly to our being there. And then we got plenty of tradesmen in membership. We can get volunteers, you know. They'll go there, get a couple of months free room and board while they work to take care of the electric, plumbing.
Yeah.
Have the place looking brand new when they're done.
When you were there before this in 2008, you and your friend, Nahuel.
Nahuel, we were there in 2008. Then Nahuel was our guide again in 2009 when we came back with that group. Mm-hmm. And when was I there with Martin? 2 years, 3 years ago, something like that. And then again.
Yeah, I think it was right after you fell off the damn roof, wasn't it?
That was 2016, boy. That's something I won't remember or forget. I mean, I fell off the roof 2016.
Yeah.
Boy, you hit hard. Fall 8 feet, land on your back.
What was the date of that?
I don't remember the date, But I do remember it was 2016.
All right. That's close enough.
Yeah.
Well, there's a piece of history right there for you, 57 and 58, is waiting for restoration. Somebody needs to buy that 1,100 acres and preserve that property.
Yep. And we'll be back next year, sharkhunters@earthlake.net, and we'll send you full information.
Thank you, Harry. That was fun.
Yep. It's always great to be on your show.
All right. Talk to you soon. You be well.
All right. Take care, Jeff. Bye-bye.
Harry Cooper. And there's a look at his trip just back on Tuesday. All right. Have a wonderful weekend. Take care. Talk to you soon. Be well.